Ladies and gentlemen, please lock your doors. Pull your curtains and douse your lights. Come, drop to the fire as we go live to the studio embers of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show!
Witches flying past on broomsticks, black cats leaping here and there, white robe spooks on every corner, mournful moaning in the air, goblins peering out of spirit things that rap and run, but don't be scared, it's just October, having one last hour of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Halloween by Mary Jane Carr, and this is your Bad Boys of the Paranormal, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
That's right, paranormal broadcasting held together by shoestrings and duct tape. Coming to you every week, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've run out of things to say.
And bubblegum, toothpaste.
Bubblegum, that's it. That's what I
Hey, game, if you haven't guessed it, we'll be back in the studios all night long. Oh, or at least till the show's over.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
And that would leave me being Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
Sunday, October 24th, Sunday broadcast of our little show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Spooner and Sean Burris. It's broadcast live on Absurd Radio and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio and anybody else who wants us.
There you go. So call us.
Yes.
Call me. Hey, guys, we got another one. Oops, we did it again. We got the big shot Mike McDowell, voted number one paranormal superhero in the world by us. He's also the founder and CEO and president of one of the largest ghost hunting communities in the world. Well, at least in Indiana. It's the Indiana Ghost Draggers. You can find out about them at indianaghosts.org. He also has a killer tour company, chaostrips.com. That's right, chaostrips.com. That's a ghost hunting tour. And check it out. He's going to be in studio with us live tonight. I'm ready, okay? I was excited. I just peed a little.
You're like a chihuahua.
I am. I get excited. This is our Halloween extravaganza.
That's woo-hoo! Right. Woohoo. You know, we didn't for a Halloween extravaganza. We didn't really Halloweened up. You know what it is, folks? You know, last year we were busy with Extreme Paranormal, and this year we're busy doing everything else, and
busy trying to get back with Extreme Paranormal.
Yes. Shh, you didn't hear it from us.
No, you didn't.
Vote Extreme Paranormal.
Yeah, never happened. You didn't see us here.
Oh, and that's because the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Your heart beats faster and faster. Are you heathens and hooligans? You won't get the hell out of here. Follow someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here. Well, all you heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here.
Live from the G&D studios, inspiring future generations of ghost hunters to think for themselves, the original Bad Boys of the Paranormal, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
And no, folks, I am not in the chat room, and that's because my computer got hit with a horrible virus this week. Called it's a malware actually called ThinkPoint. So if something comes up and tells you on your computer that you are at risk and you need to download ThinkPoint, don't do it. Especially if you have Microsoft Essentials, because it's specifically designed to attack Microsoft Essentials. So I'm trying to get in the chat room right now. I know I should.
That's the granny from Looney Tunes. You ought to. I agree with you. You're a dirty man. That's terrible. This is like a bad month for G&D, because I got hit with the virus. Well, last month was bad too. I actually got fooled, guys. And it popped up, said I had a virus, and it said it was a Yahoo official thing and everything, and I actually gave him a credit card number, and everything, and yeah, found out it was a spyware. Spyware. Remember I was telling you about that, Nathan? And I had to go get my computer wiped out and redone, and wow. Yep. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it.
Don't believe them. They're lying.
Don't believe the hype. I had to call the credit card company and get it X'd out. They were real helpful. They were real helpful, so...
Unbelievable. Yeah. What the, you know, and I noticed now I was watching Cablevision, and they actually have specials now on for parents to teach their parents how to prevent their kids from clicking OK on those things so that they don't go getting spyware and stuff like that.
Well, apparently we should have watched that for radio show host because we both I fell for it.
Well, the problem with this ThinkPoint is, I mean, it's vicious. It does not give you the chance to say no.
Yeah.
You know, if you even try and click it off, it just attacks you. And
well, that's like this thing that I had. It kept showing up. It wouldn't let me go to Yahoo to investigate it. It wouldn't let me go anywhere. So, dude, you got a terrible, terrible virus. It's going to kill you. It's coming after your family, right? So I freaked out and did the dumbest thing you could do on the internet, man. Wow. Wow. Don't ever give out your credit card information. Turn your computer off. Nothing's that important. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The guy at the when I took it to the computer shop, Nate told me that all I had to do was simply turn it off and turn it back on. And yep. It would have went away. Huh?
Yep. I know. Yeah. And I tried that with my... Yeah. I tried that with my computer first, and it popped right back up. So it was already on the computer. So there was nothing I could really do about it. And it won't even let me get on the internet right now on my on the other computer. I was telling Sean that, you know, here it takes like 2-3 computers to run everything, and I'm a computer down. So I will try and get in the chat room, folks. If I don't, you know why, because
eastbound and down. I do it all from my little computer here in G&D Studios on this side of things, so I'm lucky there. But I don't have to run the board.
Yep, so it's... That's
a good thing. It's a good thing. I just do sound effects.
I'm trying to turn boot everything back up right now and see if I can fix it that way, but...
Boot it up. Hey, happy Halloween, everybody. This is our official Halloween show because we won't be able to be on next Sunday, of course, because it's Halloween night.
No, it is. You know, how long has that been? I mean, we have never had a Halloween fall on a Sunday night since we've been doing the show. So
it's, that's totally weirdo, man, because at least here in Indiana, this is something I think we should go to Congress with. Whenever Halloween falls on a weekend, it's so rare. It should be on every time, every month, every time they have Halloween. It should be on a weekend anyway because it's for kids and everything. And you, nobody wants to go to work and have to. And some people work weekends, and that sucks. But, you know, they should have it on a Saturday because, you know, you got time to get off. You got Saturday. The kids can come home and watch spooky movies and don't have to go to bed early and all that. I mean, what's up, man? Well, having it on a Sunday. What, are you going to get out of church and run out and get into your Satan outfit and go trick-or-treating?
You know, it's funny. I grew up in such a small town that when I was a kid, if Halloween fell on a Sunday, they did have it on Saturday.
Oh.
And it actually got confusing because not everybody knew that we were supposed to go out on Sunday. So,
right,
or Saturday.
Right.
So it got a little confusing there.
I got to tell you, Demon Hunter, what was you going to say? Go ahead.
I was going to say, back then you didn't have like every TV channel you could tune into and find the latest news about what was going on in town and stuff. It was no online, nothing like that. You know, watching an old movie a few weeks ago with a friend of mine, they're sitting at it and they're in their 20s and this guy walks up to go in the door and she's like, why doesn't he just call on his cell phone?
Yeah.
It's 1955. Come on.
What's he gonna use, his can and his string? Yeah. Yeah, they didn't. Kids don't understand that, though, man. Just back not too long ago in a galaxy not too far away, You know, we had TVs where you actually had to get up and pull the knob to turn them on. Yes, they were color, folks. Yes, kids, they were color, but you actually had to pull the knob, and they were floor models because families used to sit on the floor, apparently, and watch a lot of television.
Now, I myself, being from a very poor family, ours was not color. We did have a color TV, but the picture didn't work. So that sat on the floor, and we and you would turn that on and turn it to, say, channel 4, because you only got, like, 5 channels.
Right.
You turn it to channel 4. And then you'd have the black and white TV sitting on top of the color TV. The picture worked on that one, so you turned that one to channel 4, and then you got it in stereo.
Right. And I remember the kids, I'd go to school, and they'd be talking about Fraggle Rock on HBO, and I'm like, HBO? You know, I didn't know what that was, man. I thought Fox 59 here locally when it came out was, I was like, oh my God, you know, we just blasted into the future here, and that was like another channel they added. Because it was, you know, you had late night horror host Sammy Terry on channel 4, and most of the time it was news, and then you had Facts of Life, soap operas, you know, all that stuff, After School, Punky Brewster, junk like that that you'd come home and watch, you know, and that was it. When it was over, and you had After School cartoons. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah, and all the main channels had your After School cartoons, and Saturday morning cartoons, man. I woke up a few weeks ago and tried to watch Saturday morning cartoons and couldn't find anything that didn't have, like, Pokemon or Ben 10 on it. I was very disappointed.
I lived through the Atari. Remember the Atari cartoons?
Yep, yep.
Yeah,
Pac-Man and Q-Bert.
Yeah, Q-Bert and all that. And it was Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man. They had kids and everything. Yeah, that was great, man. What a great time to grow up in the 70s. But I'm sure sometime, a long time from now, there'll be children sitting here doing our job saying, you know, when we grew up back in the 2005s.
We didn't have flying cars. And we
Right. We used to do things the hard way. We actually had to put our own food in the microwave and hit number one.
It took a minute and a half to heat up a meal.
Yeah, there was actually people hungry in the world. Now that we've cured that. Hopefully we will cure world hunger. But hey, guys, we're starting a little bit here closer to home. Nathan, tell them a little bit about Hunt for Hunger. What a good call.
Oh, Hunt for Hunger, definitely. It started this weekend in Blackstone, Massachusetts, and it will be going again next Saturday. And I will be there to, I don't know if I'm presenting or just, I'm going to bring everything to do a presentation. They haven't told me what I'm doing yet when I get there. I don't know where I'm sleeping when I get up there. Apparently, I'm not sleeping. It's definitely you bring 2 cans of food or bring a couple bucks to donate towards solving hunger and the hunger problem in the area for the holidays. And there will be local celebs from different paranormal shows. I'm totally lost here without my computer to be able to bring up my information.
Carl
will be there, and Carl was on Ghost Hunters the first season, and Dina and
more
Carl,
importantly, he was on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, though.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And Dina doing the Haunted on Animal Planet. So
yeah, great episode too.
Yeah,
good one.
Really was.
They played it over like 60 times. I think I've caught it 30 times at least. So. It's been amazing. But speaking about playing it over, isn't it this week that we...
It is tomorrow.
Lead off Hell Week?
We start off Hell Week tomorrow at 11 p.m. on the Bio Network with Extreme Paranormal, the New Mexico episode. So...
Spain. Right. You got it. That's it. We're going to head it up. Unfortunately, we're not getting any... royalties from that. But hey, I hope you guys enjoy it anyway. That's great, man. That's great. I can't wait. You know, me and Nathan, guys, we got a thing hopefully coming up for you guys soon. We're taking G&D hopefully in a new direction. But we're trying to think of ways. Maybe you guys can get in the forum and help us. We've always been a free show, and we're going to continue to be a free show as long as we can. But, we're thinking of ways to go in different directions with the show to make it a little bit more entertaining for you guys and do some more great stuff. But unfortunately, it takes money, and there we are. So
yeah,
we don't know what
we're
going to do.
We're working on it, though.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're trying to figure out a way to do it ourselves like we've always done.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to do that yet. But we'll get back to you on it.
But if the plan is to go to video, folks, the plan is to go to video so that you'll be able to log on. We're working on it so that we'll still be able to upload the audio. So if you listen to us every week on your iPod, we'll still be there. However, even when we go to video, I will not be cutting myself on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show for a ritual.
That's so funny. You say what you will, little brother, about, you know, how we cut it, you cut it yourself or whatever, and we did that experiment and everything. I've always stood up for everything we did.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Even when people came after and said, do you condone that your friend cut himself? And I said, abso-freaking-lutely. I would have cut myself. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Hey, this is where I stand on this. The show was called Extreme Paranormal. Look at a dictionary. What do you think extreme means? All right? Maybe you should check that out before you watch it if you're going to be offended by extreme stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I've always stood up for what we did on the show. I think it needs to be done. And even if we're not going to get a chance to do it, one of our listeners or somebody around the world needs to go out there and do something even more extreme than what we did.
Yeah, we're not condoning cutting yourself, though.
No, please. Yeah, don't cut yourself. But I think everything that we did was done in a controlled environment, and I think it was done in with a approach that it was going to be monitored and documented.
One of the things that, you know, I wish they'd shown is when we first discussed doing the blood ritual, we thought, you know, maybe cutting yourself, you know, for TV, let's find a nurse to draw my blood for it. Yeah. And when they found out what we wanted it for ritual, they said, no, we're not going to do it. So
Man, that goes back. It just goes back to, I mean, I was listening to a Marilyn Manson interview, you know, and it goes back to where, you know, my dad, he went Christianity big time. Everybody knows is listening to the show. My dad, when I was younger, switched from Baptist to non-believer to Baptist, and great thing for Dad, and it's terrific, and I have a lot of respect for him, and I have a lot of respect for people that are religious out there and get on their knees nightly and pray to whatever being they think, you know, is or there or know that's there. I got a lot of respect for him. It takes a lot of faith to mm-hmm. get through this world, and I think that's a good thing. Whatever helps you get by on a daily basis. So I'd never knock religion. What I do knock, I'm gonna get on my soapbox, Demon Hunter. Are you ready?
All right, get on there.
What I do knock is when any organized group, I'm not even going to pick on religion, any organized group in the world attacks somebody else for having their own different looks, outlooks, or different techniques, or different ways of doing things, or different beliefs. I mean, I will attack that till the day I die. Leave people alone. If you want to worship Satan, hey, that's your thing. Go do it. You know, if I don't like it, then stay away from me. That's your thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to bash people for doing their thing. We've had people on this show from all over Demon Hunter, all walks of life. We had the high priestess of the Church of Satan on.
That's right.
And how much did our listeners and we, as co-host of our show, learn from that interview?
Oh, lots. From that is where I learned to start taking out the theremin and using it on ghost hunts. I mean...
And I, for one, learned that Satanism or devil worshippers, they don't worship the devil. The Church of Satan don't even believe in Satan, you know. And I was raised that these people were killing kids and throwing babies in the fire. This is real stuff, guys. They had these videos in, the religion I went to, the Sunday school I went to, they'd show these 13-year-old kids. You want to talk about extreme? They would do scare taxis on me at 13 years old and all the kids that were with me, showing how the man woke up, the rapture took place, and he had to take the mark of the beast to put it in. You want to talk about some scary stuff? I was dreaming about that. You know, I can't go to sleep. What if I wake up and I ain't right with God and everybody's gone tomorrow and everything else? Don't scare your kids. And the damage you can do to them through stuff like that is way more worse than watching a 15-second clip of Nathan cutting himself. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. And getting back to the Marilyn Manson thing, somebody attacked him and said, do you think what you're doing is good for the children? And he said, I think it teaches the kids to think for themselves. And he said, if I got to teach the kids that, then you're not doing your job as a parent.
Yeah.
And I think he said it well. I think, maybe you don't agree with him pooping in his pants on stage or whatever he does. I don't know.
I've never actually watched a Marilyn Manson concert, but okay.
You know where I'm going with it. Maybe, sorry, Marilyn, if you pooped your pants. I didn't mean to, you know, offend anyone. But you know what I'm getting at there. But, I'm sure he doesn't want the kids to go to school and poop their pants. But if they do, you're going to have a couple nut jobs out there that are going to do that. That's when you grab your kid and you realize, oh, gosh, my kid's being, you know, led in different directions by strange people. Maybe we need to have a talk or something, you know. So I don't condemn people with different views and different styles and different, you know, ways of doing art. I think we should encourage it.
Yep.
And push it out there, and especially doing something like we're doing, man. You know, in the paranormal field where nothing is stable right now, you got, you know, and I love skeptics, Demon Hunter. You do too.
Yeah.
Half our friends are skeptics, and we sit there and we argue 20,000 times a day about, you know, what do you think about this? Well, I think about, well, yeah, there's about 5 billion ways to think about one subject. You know, I was looking up last night. It's a funny thing, Demon Hunter. Did you have something to say?
I was just thinking, you know, I always tell people my favorite skeptic was Harry Houdini. Because
yeah.
He was a true skeptic. He never stopped wanting to find proof. He never, you know, if something happened, he didn't look at it and say, well, you know, that's just this. He either proved that it wasn't true, or he left it alone. And, you know, let's take orbs, for instance, because everybody hates orbs. But if...
Orbs!
If somebody actually, you know, sees an orb in their picture... Don't look at the picture and say, oh, it's dust, and toss it back to them. You know, explain to them why it's dust. Make sure that it's dust. You know, if you're not sure if it's dust or moisture, ask them for the original digital print. Yes, because it's, you know.
What'd you say, ma'am? You had an orb?
you know, but be fair to them and be fair to yourself and don't just... discount everything. I mean, there were times people were tossing orb photos at me, and I was like, oh, you know, it dust, moisture, whatever. And then somebody hands me one that I swear I would have thought that somebody threw a frisbee and caught it in the picture because it was glowing bright white and moving, and I had no idea what this thing was.
Right.
I'd never able to disprove that photo, so... You know,
well, the thing about the orbs, you know, and I've fought with Kenny and everybody about it. You got to, the majority of it, 99.9%, yes, I'll agree, moisture, dust. I don't even look at them anymore because they're just too hard to prove that anything's happening. But if the person's there and they say, listen, my whole house was like an episode of Poltergeist. It imploded upon itself and got sucked into the nether regions, and this ball of light was floating. That was all that was left, and I took this picture. Now, how can you say, nah, it was dust? You know, you weren't there. You don't know. So shut up until you're there. You know, it's cool to be a skeptic. Just don't push people around. I think everybody's a skeptic. I don't think you have to say you're a skeptic. You should be skeptic anyway.
People start telling me their stories, and immediately in my head, I start thinking of all the natural causes that could be causing what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody at Chrissy P was out doing a book signing today for a new book, Skeletons in the Swimming Hole. And we're going to have her on the show because I want her to tell people about the book.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm there, and they start telling me their ghost stories. And I'm sitting there in my head going, you know, hot water baseboard heat, this is that, that's moisture building up, blah, blah. And then she said, and then my neighbors came over and were all freaked out because their daughters got grabbed by the ankles by something and pulled out of bed. And all of a sudden my skepticism went, what?
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole reason, what was you going to say, Nate?
I was just saying that, you know, all of a sudden I had to stop my skepticism and now I want to go. But they said when the daughters moved out of the house... everything stopped, which goes into my whole theory of a keyhole ghost. Some
right.
ghosts are keyholes. Some people are keys that activate. They turn them on and activate them. So it's...
Keyhole. And once again, I just want to say, Nate, guys out there, I'm not talking bad about skeptics. I am a skeptic. Nathan is a skeptic. Look up the term for the definition of investigator. I'm pretty sure you need to be a skeptic to investigate anything. That's cool to be a skeptic, but what I put on my Facebook yesterday, Demon Hunter, I haven't been able to talk to you, but I'm going to share it with everybody. I can't share a lot of the guys, but a lot of people were asking me yesterday what went on, and my Facebook status read yesterday, folks, I got to clean it up a little bit. I said, peeps, please, if I'm investigating your home or business, please know where my IR cameras are before you decide to fake stuff. Period. Okay, and that's why I'm on my soapbox today. And you know, Demon Hunter, I don't get on it too much, bro. But I got up. I was so excited for weeks to get in this place, and I had no sleep. And I got up, and I packed all the equipment up, and I got the newspaper to come with me. I had two people follow me to help me set up stuff. You know, and the guy was like, "Hey, man, you know, I got 4 or 5 hours. You could come. We're moving from this warehouse to the next." And you know, I went in there and I set up my equipment and I was, you know, listening to his stories, and I just sat down. How many times do you get a chance to just sit down on an investigation?
Oh, you know me. I spend half my time sitting down if I'm not laying down on an investigation.
Right, right. And I think that's something everybody should start doing. Just sit down, because you start finding out a lot. And I was watching everybody and I was reading their faces, you know, and I was reading how the room felt and what the air felt like around me. And I was.
And then
really
he realized he had three aces and he just needed to draw one more to win the game.
That was it. And then I shot him. No, I didn't. That's like an old West thing there. But anyway, I had the cameras and I caught nothing, of course. We were there. Some loud bang happened. Of course, the owner ran out in the direction, and the investigator that was with me and myself kind of looked at each other, and the newspaper lady looked at me, and I said, well, I guess I better go check it out. I mean, I don't get it that excited, you know, when stuff happens, because I know I got the cameras running and there's nothing I can do about it anyway. So. You know, I walked out there and I looked around. I couldn't find what the loud bang was. But I did notice at the time one of the owners was standing in the doorway from the office to the warehouse area. Yep. And the lights were off in the warehouse and the lights were off in the office. And this person was smoking a cigarette, which she said, is this okay? I said, absolutely. Go right ahead.
I'm not
going
to tell you what to do in your own home, even during an investigation.
Right, right. Absolutely. Smoke wherever you want to. So she went ahead and smoked. And I had the cameras rolling, and then we heard that bang. And everybody looked at each other, and I'm thinking, I told the newspaper person everything. I said, you know what? I'm not discrediting anything, but once the homeowners come into it and they're out of your sight or they're moving around, really the controlled environment is no longer controlled. You don't know. Yeah, you don't know who to trust. You don't know their background. You don't know what's going on. I'd love to trust everybody. I really would. I'd love to, but you just can't as investigators. So anyway, soon to come on YouTube, the big unveiling from the G&D show, what to look for on investigations. They were caught red-handed. That's all I'm going to say until we get it up on YouTube. Doing something that just really put me into a tizzy. I got home last night. One of the other investigators called me and said, dude, I'm going over tape. I need you to go to this segment of your IR cam and see if you got what I got. And while I was watching it, I actually felt like I was going to vomit. I mean, it dropped from, I just felt that, you know, that wet feeling in the back of your mouth and my throat. And I was like, oh, God, I just spent 6 hours of my morning on Saturday, you know, on this really cool tip I got. You know, the guy called me. He was an older gentleman. You know, I thought everything was cool. But it just shows you nothing to gain either. There's nothing to gain. Maybe they wanted to meet us because we had a TV show. I don't know. But there was nothing to gain from this. They were leaving the place. It wasn't a business like a haunt would attract money or anything. Yeah. So I thought, wow, what a good lead. And it really taught me a lesson. I'm still learning that. The lengths of what some people will go, guys, to fool us.
Yeah.
And we're not even making any money, and they're not making any money. There's nothing to – but it was fake. It was definitely in my book. I threw all my files away, everything, but I did keep the video. Case closed for me. Even if it is an active place, we will never know. The world may never know. We'll never know because I'm not going to investigate it. I'm not going to waste my time. If you have a haunted place and we come out to investigate it, please don't try to add to it. If a haunted place is haunted, it's going to be haunted. Don't add to it because I will pack up and leave, and I'm pretty sure Nate will too, because you just ruined the entire thing, the whole credibility of the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went home last night, and I started looking up some stuff. And I started, we've been doing this for 13 years, and I started questioning myself. And I started thinking, man, am I wasting my time? And I know I've seen some amazing stuff, and so have you, Nathan. And enough to know that the paranormal exists out there. Weird stuff does happen, just the way it is. Skeptic, believer, whatever, weird stuff happens, and who are you going to call, I guess?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like when we were at Whispers, and a lot of stuff has happened for us there before. The last time we were there, not so much happened. The skeptic, Kenny Biddle, was with us. He was trying to take down what we had seen, everything like that, and heard. Which is fine. That's what he's there for.
Yeah, he was trying to explain it. Yeah,
right. And then at the last night, we're there by ourselves with, it's me, Sean, Magnus, and Jeff, right?
Yeah. John Champion.
John Champion. That's it. Well, that's Magnus.
Magnus, yeah.
Who else was with us? We had three people there.
Jerry
was there with us. So four of us there. We're all sitting around. We're watching a movie. And Sean is just intensely watching this movie. And
it's a good movie.
It was a good movie. It was a crazies. It was a great movie. And we're all sitting around watching the movie, and we're having a great time watching it. And as we're watching it, both Magnus, Jerry, and I all see somebody lean into the doorway and look at us watching TV, just a shadow of someone just lean in, kind of like if you see Paranormal Activity, the way the shadow moves across the door. You know, this right. shadow just moves right in front of the door and staring at us and then backs out of the doorway. And right. the three of us, just our eyes just all like turn into saucers, and we're like, we didn't have anything running. Nothing yeah. running, because we were done with the investigation. And Sean just looked at me and went, are you kidding me? Finally something happens, and I wasn't looking at the door.
And it's usually, I didn't. John in the chat room just said, I want to believe. Absolutely, John, I do want to believe. I'm staring right now at an X-Files poster that I have framed. How hard did they laugh at the frame store when I brought that in? They didn't laugh, but it's framed. Says, I want to believe, and I do want to believe. I believe in something. I believe that this stuff happens. I know it happens. I've seen it.
You think
almost
they laughed?
I hit by a flying vase, and I'm pretty sure there was no strings attached because I walked around and checked for it. You know, I do believe in a certain amount of stuff, but at the same time, I don't know. It was just disheartening, man. It really broke my heart yesterday to see what lengths these people would do, what they did. And I just, I started looking up last night on a lot of skeptic networks. You know, like I said, I'm a skeptic, but I'm not a freak skeptic. I don't go around trying to bash everything to, you know.
We're not debunkers. We
right.
we want
I'm an observer.
Know. Yeah.
I want to watch what happens and document it. And,
that's
and
exactly
to the best of my
it.
Ability.
Yeah.
That's it. And you know what? There's a place for skeptics, too. I love skeptics. And like I said, I'm a skeptic. But, you know, there's a fine line there between skepticism and, you know, you have to have an experience, I believe, to actually be a skeptic. Yeah. You have to experience what you're being skeptic about. You know what I mean? And so I have experienced it. So I realize, but I've been fooled, too. Demon Hunter, I've been fooled. I could have been fooled on this case, but I know enough to step back and go, I don't care if Satan's out there laughing and just hit the, you know, table four times, unless I see it and can document it, you know, somewhat scientifically. I hate to even use the term scientifically when it comes to the paranormal. Oh, God, I don't want to go there, Nate. But mixing science into paranormal, that's another show. That's really one of our pet peeves, too, or mine, Nate, when people say, I want to use the scientific method to document. Yeah, that's good. But this is the paranormal. And we all know the definition of the paranormal, right? There is no science for paranormal. I mean, there are guidelines that you can follow, the scientific method, and I think it's great, and I think it opens up a lot of doors to add to different ways of documenting stuff and what to look for. But, you know, we can't use a lot of science because we don't know what science will be effective.
Right.
But I do like the part of the scientific method where you need to test, and retest everything. And that's what we did with Extreme Paranormal, and that's why I like that. Okay, but it's just, I started looking up everything last night, and I started going, my God, is there anything that people will agree on? And just say, you know what, I've seen that. You know what, I've seen it too. Let's go have coffee.
Well,
you know, or let's go get a beer.
According to the websites, you know, everybody agreed that they didn't like our show. But
yeah. See, they got together on that. I dig it.
Then
we had a couple of them.
Even after that, then people started coming out and saying they liked the show, and that ruined that. So it's
Well, see, what people don't realize, when they say they hate our show and we should die and stuff like that, see, I dig it. I want more people to go out there, because if you don't, I'm going to, if we don't get picked up again. We got a new idea me and Nathan's working on for the show. It's going to be like nothing you've ever seen before, guys, really. If we can pull together our brains and our thoughts, and me and Nathan can convert this soon, we're going to give you guys something totally different that I promise you is going to get you off your butt from watching football or soap operas or whatever, and come downstairs every Sunday night and watch the show, because it's going to be – we don't want to do a show where you're just staring at us.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. We got some different approaches. We can't tell you yet because we want to surprise you. But we're really putting we've put a lot of heart and a lot of faith and a lot of sweat into this show, Nathan and myself. And we love you guys. We love what we do. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, man, I started checking out, is there anything people can agree on? Just something that I can go up bed at night and go, you know, people are lighting candles and holding hands, and, you know, they're at least calm with each other about this. And there isn't. There isn't. So I started finding some kind of absolute, some kind of thing that I could look for. And I started thinking, physics. You know, I took physics in school, and I started thinking about it. I started looking it up. Do you realize we cannot, we can, if you're a big enough skeptic or a non-believer, you can argue that the human race does not exist.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, so, because using physics, you cannot prove that we are here right now.
Well, that falls into metaphysics as well, because you get into that's the metaphysical argument. That we, each of us, exists in our own universe, and the universe that's created around us is according to our own design.
Absolutely.
You know, so, yep. I mean, right there. You know, there's an argument. Do we exist? No, according to, one group will argue it. So I'm sure several will. Personally, I've tried to think of what it was like not to exist, and you know what? It's about as boring as the rest of my life. So
it'd be nice not to exist. You know, I wouldn't have to pay taxes. This is a sucky existence. If we don't exist,
I want to know who it is who thought up taxes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Take that existence away, IRS. Take that all away. Don't audit me though.
Hey, before you go on, I wanted to know any news tonight.
I just got some little stories, but I want to get that out there first. Anyway, with the clip coming on YouTube, you're going to see the lady guys standing there, one hand smoking a cigarette, and she's looking into the place where all the investigators are, which was myself, newspaper lady, and two other investigators. And I'm sitting in a chair, and I won't take my eyes off of her because she's the only one that I cannot see clearly. And you can see her smoking her cigarette, then you heard the big boom in the back. Like, you know, and one of the claims was things were flying around this place. It happens at all different times of the day. I promise you it's going to happen. This stuff's crazy. We don't believe in ghosts or spooks, but this is what's going on. I got to believe it because it happens every day. So I thought, wow, what a good lead. Let's go out there and check it out. So I did, and what you see is her smoking a cigarette with one hand, and in the back she does one of them backhand shuffles.
Okay.
With the other hand, you see her put her hand in her pocket and toss something into the darkness, and seconds after you hear bang, bang, boom. So it was just like, oh my God, you know. So it was, yeah, man, it really broke my heart. But I'm pushing on because
that's
one bad case.
That's what we do, you know. It's, you know, one of the things people wondered about when we did the Extreme Paranormal was why we were running around all the time. It's because we didn't have cameras to cover absolutely everything. You know, we didn't have a multi-million-dollar budget to do that. Yeah. So, you know, the only time cameras were going to be in certain places is if we were there. So if we saw something, we had to get down there with the camera. And
well, you know, a lot of people commented on what we said last week where, you know, people were saying what we did was so extreme and it should be outlawed. It was terrible. And I said, was it too extreme or just extreme enough to get things to happen? Because people said it was fake. What we got was fake and it wasn't fake.
Yeah.
So was it just extreme enough to really make things happen? I mean, you got to think about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, and that's what we were doing. That's what we were out there to do. That's what we were out there to do.
I'm not saying people should slice their wrist on investigations. No, common sense plays a role on that, guys. We were a television show trying new things. We had the forum to allow us to experiment for you. That's why we were on TV, so you don't have to. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, bad idea. Don't do that. I mean, we're all adults here, guys.
when people ask me about the cutting myself, I would say I tell people, you know, there are religions out there. There are belief systems, faiths, you know, occult practices, even non-occult practices, where blood is a major issue. And, you know, like I said, people were telling me that the rune that I used wasn't even real.
Well, listen, people attacked you for cutting yourself, okay? If you're going to attack us for everything.
Yeah.
Do you? Okay, you don't want your child cutting yourself, right? I agree. I don't want mine to. Definitely. Go to a psychiatrist. Get your child checked out. That is bad. It's a serious thing. It is a very sad thing. With that said, do you want your kid going diving into an unknown lake at night? Because I did that. So if you're going to go after, you know, Nate for cutting his wrist, come after me for going diving, a fat kid going diving at night with, you know, new gear that he hadn't tested, didn't know anything about. It was called extreme, folks. I'm sure you don't want your kid being surrounded by candles with lit flames, too, being in a straitjacket, but we did that. So why not go after that, too? I mean, my God, guys, pump the brakes for a second and learn what entertainment is. Do you really want to watch people just sitting around doing the same stuff over and over? I mean, honestly, check it out, man.
And I tell you this, if Extreme Paranormal comes back, we will do even crazier stuff. It's, you know, well, and we will do stuff that is,
absolutely,
is not just crazy, but is, you know, advancing the idea of what is possible in the paranormal. And that's all we were trying to do, advancing the idea of what is possible.
Well, so it just, it takes you back, and people will dog me out for comparing this to anything. Einstein, anybody that came out with a new idea or a new thought. The world is round. No, it's not. It's flat. I mean, you know, once people got it in their head, and they start throwing the kids into the mix saying it's bad for this and you're going to kill our future and all these things. I mean, what it is, guys, is there's a lot of hate mongers out there, and there's a lot of hate mongers that can benefit from hating other people, from watching them not change the way you think. Because if we change the way you think about something, we get you out of the sheeple mix where you're following the norm. You're following one person's way of thinking. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
A lot of people used to watch the television shows and they'd go, and even to this day, they're doing it on TV. I even had that lady a couple weeks ago, Demon Hunter. You remember? She was, a lot of them think we're professionals. We know everything because we've been on TV. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We got lucky. We got lucky. We put a lot of sweat and heart and blood into the show. We got a shot. Just like anybody could do. This is America, land of the free, home of the brave, all the good stuff.
I was explaining to someone today, you know, nowadays you can go to a college and they'll probably have a class on ghost hunting. You didn't have that 20 years ago. You didn't have, you were either going to go to school to be a parapsychologist, if you wanted to get into this, comparative religions, or you were going to go study under somebody who'd been doing it for 20 years. And that's what I did. I went and lived with people who had been doing this kind of thing for years before I did. And, you know, some of the things that I did, I'm sure the people I studied under would look at you and say, you shouldn't do that. But you know what? There are things I learned reading through their libraries and going through their texts and going through past history accounts. So yeah, I'm not going to write it off just because nowadays it's politically incorrect to tell me anything we do on this show that's politically correct.
Nothing we say is political, okay? That's for sure. But you know, I love it. I love that we got the chance to do the show, and hopefully we'll get the chance to do more. If not with Extreme Paranormal, guys, you will see us again, and I guarantee you that. But it's the fact that we did the show, I'm proud of it, Nate. I'm proud of everything we did. I wish there would have been more blood spilled for the ritual. Maybe it wasn't enough. You know what I'm saying? Push the limits when you have the opportunity to do it, man. When you have the opportunity to experiment, for people can learn from it. Just like with science or anything, you mix these two chemicals together. Oh my God, there could be an explosion to kill everybody, but you have to mix them together to see.
But again, folks, don't go out and do what we do.
We're trained unprofessionals.
not only are do we put a lot of time and work into doing it, but we also have people there to help us if something goes wrong. So
that's what I'm saying. For you know, in the terms that everybody can understand, we were on TV. We had the forum to be able to experiment for people to watch and see. Wow, the demon didn't eat their soul.
Yep.
You know, okay, that's been proven. They did this ritual. Didn't work.
It just ate our TV show.
it ate our hopes. It ate our dreams. No. It was a good thing. It was a good thing, and I'm proud of it. And I will argue with any skeptic respectfully, man. Respectfully argue like an adult, because that's what we do. That hey, man, you know, you got to push the limits, and if you're not, you know what? If you can't take the heat, stay out of hell. That's all I got to say.
Hey, quick news flash before we have to go to break and come back with a guest this evening. Because Mike, I'm sure, is waiting to come on. This week in New York, UFO sightings.
Woo!
Around 1:30 p.m., reports of strange orbs flying over New York and New Jersey. One person claimed that they were balloons released from a parade, but they were sitting there overnight and were in the same place the next day. So, you know, whether or not they were orbs or just balloons or UFOs, don't know. But apparently that same day, October 13th, I believe it was, sightings all over the world. In fact, we're going to have a guest on in a few weeks. My buddy Frank, who does The Invisible World, he reported on this and was talking about the fact that, in fact, a small a small village in China, all the people vanished.
Really?
Yeah. It's something like out of Close Encounters, whether or not the... Whether or not the UFOs took the people, or the government evacuated everybody and didn't explain why.
Right.
You know, don't know, but an entire village vanished over the Golden Gate Bridge out in California. Sightings.
And how do you not investigate that, man?
You know, it's like something out of 1980s sci-fi TV.
Right. But right. Now people will be going there. They'll take a pilgrimage to this place now to see these people. So.
Oh yeah. Yep. And I'm not going to try and say any of the names of this village because I don't want you guys have to drink that much. But
just the village. We'll leave it at that. But I tell you one thing. I was working at my job, which is at an airport surrounded by many, many airlines and commercial aircraft. And I was outside, out back, and I was doing some work. And I happened to look up last week, and I seen these bright lights in the sky. And it was like in a round shape. There was like six of them in a round, looked like a circular shape. And I actually did a double take, and I looked at it. And I, realized that I was at an airport, and those were planes actually lining up. You know how they line them up to land? Yeah. The planes have to line up. You are on runway 117, Roger. Okay, copy that. You're seeing Indy on the ground, And that's what they do. They line up to come down. I just wonder how many UFO sightings might be people that live close to airports and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'm just, it's my skepticism. Ah!
But you want information about it, folks, go YouTube or Google UFO sightings over New York. Also check out UFO sightings around the world, October 13th, October 12th. See what's going on. And Sean, I got to say, we got to go to break or else we're not going to get our guest on tonight.
Absolutely, guys. I didn't get to talk about the history of the jack-o'-lantern. Maybe we'll get to throw that in there with Mike. But guys, I just want to say, hold on to your hats, because as soon as me and Nate pull this together, I'm telling you, it's going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. And we hope you're really excited about it, because we are. So I tell you what, Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is about to get a lot bigger.
Yep. No time for music tonight, folks. We got to go to a quick break so we can add our guests to tonight's call, and then we'll be right back.
Quick break!
What is the darker side of the moon, Laura? It is a radio show that discusses weird news, strange happenings, and strange people. Yeah. And it's once a week. Once a week. Just once a week. That's not too much to ask. No, it's not. But if you really like it and you want to listen to it every day, you can. You can listen on the podcast. And how do you do that, Becky? Check us out on iTunes, or you can find us at our website at darkersideradio.com. For Darker Side of the Moon with Becky Ray and Laura Moon. Yay. Check the website for show times and dates. Yes, because we're always moving about. Because we like to keep you on your toes. Gotcha.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
This is Bishop James Long with the United States Old Catholic Church, and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Make sure you tune in every single week, because the bishop said so.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
Good evening.
Good evening, and welcome.
You know what we should do, Demon Heart? We were thinking about it, but since we work so tight, we were going to do a best of, like with the Elvira, Sammy Terry, to play for you guys on Halloween, because I'm sure they haven't checked all the archives. What, we got 4 years worth now, so.
Yeah.
We should do that, though, man. We should play a couple of them, man.
Oh, definitely. And it's one of those things of just the fact that I've got 4 days to put it together before I have to head out to Haunt for Hunger.
It's that whole thing about the United States and being separated by land masses. You know what I mean?
If it's only, hard to help if each only other. There was a way to teleport from one place to another.
If only there was this machine that you could get online and connect with people. Maybe we should call it the internet.
Be careful, because there was a man who almost became president who claims to have invented that already, and we don't want to get sued.
Right. Well, I tried to. I actually told that guy about it, and he went on and passed that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, once again, welcome back to the Halloween Spooktacular Show on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Right? Extravaganza. Let me throw that in there.
Extravaganza. Woo!
That's right, because we won't be on live next Sunday, but we'll try to give you something. And if we don't give you something, go in the archives if you're faded so bad and get your fix, man. But tonight's guest, guys, we got a real humdinger, like I said before. Oops, we did it again. Mike McDowell, president, CEO, founder of the Indiana Ghost Trackers. You can find more out about that at indianaghosts.org. And he also has chaostrips.com, which is the greatest haunted tours in the state of Indiana. Ladies and gentlemen, people around the world, put your hands together for tonight's guest, Mike McDowell.
Woo-hoo! Yo, hello. Thank
hey,
you.
Mike.
Are you there?
Hello. I'm here.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I love doing that, man. Hello. Happy Halloween, Mike.
Happy Halloween.
Welcome to the 5-year-old show, Mike. It's
Hey. Momo. What's that? Oh, man, that's good. What are you doing, Mike? You had a big, had a late night. Hey, I just got one question for you. Do you like movies about gladiators?
You ever been stuck in a Turkish prison?
Well, Mike posted the pictures last night, guys, and he had Ghost Trackers. I miss it. I miss doing that. You guys always rock out. What a great group. But Mike is the president of Indiana Ghost Trackers, guys, and a lot of you might not know. That's where I actually got into. I was always into the paranormal, but that's the group that I found when I was a young man back in my prime and started getting out there with Mike. And me and Mike had many, many mishaps and adventures together, and it got into a lot of trouble. And Mike's been on the show once before. But, Mike, you know, I brought you on tonight, one, because you're a good friend of the show and you're a great friend to me. And Nathan loves you, and I love you.
I love you, Mike, but I'm not in love with you.
And it's so hard today with all the haters and people out there. And you've kept a group together for a long time, man. How does it feel to be the president of the largest ghost hunting community in the state of Indiana?
Very good. Thank you for asking. It's been a great group, and I feel honored to be a part of it.
I'm not wearing any underwear.
You know, you can hang up anytime, Mike. It's okay. We understand.
No, that's true, man. Mike's done a good job. And like I said, guys, go to indianaghost.org. And there's a lot of the good thing about the Indiana Ghost Trackers, because I've seen it firsthand. I was a member for a long time. And you just have so many different types of people, Mike. And, there's a lot of chaos, no pun intended. There's a lot of stuff out there that you, as the president and founder of something, has to deal with, and knowing you on a personal level as a friend on a daily basis, along with day-to-day struggles. And you kept it together, bro. You've kept it real, and you've punched everybody out, and, you know, left them with the black eye, and you've kept on doing it. So hats off to you, man. You're doing good. And you got the tours going. Tell us about that.
Well, in 2006, I started my own tour company. I've been doing tours for the Ghost Trackers since 2001. Just doing fundraising and stuff like that for them, and the tours got to be so popular with the ghost craze picking up over the last 10 years that I just couldn't keep up, and I started adding more buses and more tours, and people wanted to come the next year and the next year, but they needed new tours, so I kept adding tours. And right now we've got, God, there's like 7 or 8 different ghost tours that I run with the tour company that I do, and they're all different haunted stops. Well, the main type of tour that I offer is like a bus tour. It's like 4 hours long, and we take them to the haunted sites, and we tell them the history. We tell them some ghost stories. We let them do a little bit of ghost hunting at a couple of the sites where they could, break out the cameras. We pass out a couple of EMF meters and some other equipment, and we, give them a chance to do a little bit of ghost hunting in and out of some of these places. We also do like midnight tours, overnight sort of things, where we go into places and do a little bit of ghost hunting. And we'll work with the people. We'll spend some time ghost hunting, showing them the equipment, how to use the equipment, and doing some EVP and doing some demonstration work with that. And we also have haunted pub crawls where we go to the haunted bars.
Well, we like those.
You guys love.
We really like those.
Sign me up for this month and the rest following.
See, there you go. The haunted pub crawls are, that's probably one of the more popular tours. Some people, they just want to drink and hear ghost stories. So this is the perfect match for them. We go to 4 haunted bars in 4 hours and get to hear the stories there, and then the ghost stories in between as we're driving between these haunted bars.
Now, do you find, Mike, that after, like, the second bar, people have start loosening up and start telling their own ghost stories when they're out on the tour?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And funny you should ask. I had a ghost tour last year. It was one of the first ones where some of the people were just so drunk by after the third stop that they were asking me, can you tell us a ghost story about ghosts and sex? I started making up, you know. They knew I was having some fun with the story, but I took some liberties with a couple of the stories that I normally tell, and just kind of ad-libbed it, and they loved it. You know, they knew I was just having some fun with the story, but, I mean, when I do the regular tours, it's all very straightforward, but the pub crawls, you can let your hair down a little bit and have some fun with people, and they know that's what it's for, just to hang out, have a good time and some laughs, and have some drinks, you know, because it's all about having some good brew and some good stories.
Now, here's the question. You know, have you considered bringing Sean Burris on your tour? Because ghosts and sex are about all he does.
So. That's all I think about, man.
Well, I do every tour. Usually I bring his name up and we watch the ghosts have sex. So there you go.
That's it. You're just going to say my name 3 times backwards. Go ahead, do it. Say it. Don't say it. It's like that one episode of that
Serbness, Nervness, Serbness.
What did the demon write on that piece of paper? It says Burris! Sean! Don't say that! Oh, come on. So, Mike, now I know when I was with the group, me and you, and the cool thing about Mike, guys, we're not going to go deep into it, but we've had our struggles together, and I am one of the proud bad boys of the paranormal, and I make fun of that, guys, because that actually came when I was a member of the Indiana Ghost Trackers, when one of the lady friends of mine that was with the group said, "You're just a regular bad boy of the paranormal, aren't you?" And it just stuck because it seemed like I was always getting in trouble. Right, Mike? It seemed like somebody
That's
was
right.
going
That's
to say,
right.
"Hey, you ain't supposed to do that way, or we don't like the way you said that, or whatever." And I,
Don, just... shall we go into the first banquet where you were giving awards for the members? Shall we go into that story?
Now, did he do that pantless too? Because toughest thing on set was to keep Sean in pants. You know, it's
That was the hard part. It was the hard thing just trying to make sure he at least left his boxers on. we weren't even very far into the night, folks. We just finished dinner. We're giving out the awards for members at our yearly banquet, and you know, Sean comes strutting out of the bathroom to give his awards for his members in his boxer shorts, and. You know, it was a struggle to make sure he kept his boxers on. You know, it was, come on, Sean. So everybody was dying as he was giving his awards out. And, yeah, he was a little toasty, you know. But, you know, we had to have a special talk with Sean and say, "Okay, Sean, don't get plastered until after the awards are out, okay? You know, after you give the awards out next year, okay."
it's
hey, everybody got their award, man, you know?
It was the toughest thing on Extreme Paranormal to have. They kept editing out Sean going, "Maybe this would work better if I wasn't wearing anything."
And right.
They're like, "No, Sean, no, we don't want to scare the ghosts away." It's,
You never know, man.
You never know. That's right.
That's true. But, you know, one thing that I'm going to say is cool about Mike, where most people that owns a large organization would turn their back on a friend and a member, because let me say, I'm not even going to say it. I'm off my soapbox for the night. But where most people would turn their back in this cutthroat, sticky-in-the-back community that we're in, Mike stuck with us. And I'm not saying that about everybody, guys, because Paranormal rocks. You guys rock, our listeners rock, and there's a lot of good people out there. I'm just saying there's some elements that aren't so great out there. But you know, me and Mike had done, I had done some things, and it wasn't terrible, but you know how it is out here, guys. If you fart in the wrong direction while you're on a ghost hunt, somebody wants to get famous off of it. You know, they want to beat you to the punch or whatever, and say it was their fart or whatever, you know, or try to criticize you for farting in that direction. So, you know, and that's just what happened. Something came up, and somebody, some big to-do came after Mike and was going to do something to the group, you know, where take something away. And Mike said, you know, he's my friend. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. And, you know, and I really appreciate that, Mike, what you did there. And that taught me a lot that you don't have to be – to operate a successful business, you don't stick people in the back, and you don't turn your back on your friends. It's about friendship. It's about friends. It's – most importantly, it's a hobby. And it's about having fun.
Exactly. So, sure.
That's it. So hats off to you, bro. That was a good one.
Thank you.
And it's allowed me to get even worse. You know, it's
now, it's tough for me to say hats off to you, Mike, because I've never seen a picture of you without your hat on. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
there's
a few of them. Oh yeah. I wear the hat for the tours. It's kind of the mystique of doing the tours, you know, but. Normally, I don't wear the big hat all the time, but sure.
Right. Now, how much, if any, how much gruff have you received from having Sean Burse in your group back in the old days for after Extreme Paranormal?
Oh, well, we only lost a few members because of you, Sean, but...
Yeah, sorry about that. Take it out. Here, I'll give you my credit card number. It's gone anyway. I had to get it together.
No, things are going good. We have a good group. Good group of people.
What's coming up for IGT? You guys just had your big Halloween party. You were a gladiator.
Yes, I was a gladiator. We're coming up on our yearly banquet. You know, every year we have our big awards banquet. We give out the awards to the chapters and the members who have done outstanding things in our organization to thank them. And, when you're a volunteer organization, it's about recognizing the people who are contributing and doing great things in the organization. And this is our once-a-year opportunity to do just that. We break bread with each other from all over the state. It's the one time of the year where we ask all the members, hey, let's get together. Let's get together with your fellow ghost trackers from all over the state. Have some supper, have a good party. And most importantly, recognize everybody for the outstanding things they've done, celebrate the great EVPs they've gotten, celebrate the great photographs and videos we've gotten over the year, and, you know, just recognize the great things that we've done over the year, you know, and, you know, it's a good time to reflect also on and be thankful for having such a wonderful organization. So that's coming up, actually, the second week of November, yeah, so... Carl Proctor will be there. He's one of the guys who started up the Ghost Trackers. I've asked Sean to come down. I guess it's going to be depending upon if he's able to get away for it.
I want to be there.
And we want you there. We want you there, with or without pants, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point.
Optional for Burris, you know.
Maybe I'll write poetry, and I can read poetry at the pulpit while I'm naked or stuff. I don't know. Or wearing a gladiator outfit.
It's art. If you're reading poetry right. While you're naked, it's art, so it's okay.
Yeah,
everything we do is art. Yes, everything we do is art. The way you handle a phone conversation is art. You know, we could argue that. Now, Mike, what do you think about we were talking about? Were you listening to the show before? I know you weren't, but just say yeah, you were.
I'll just say yeah, I was.
Okay, you was. Oh, that's great. You're a big fan of the show. You listen every week. I know, but. While you were listening to tonight's live show and downloading last week's and listening to it over and over because you listen to us every day of the week, I don't know if you happened to catch the part where I was talking about the investigation I was on yesterday, and I caught somebody faking, actually. I caught him on camera. So I came home, I'm going over the tape, and caught him red-handed, man. What a good find. I can't wait to put it on YouTube so I can show people what to look for. And I was telling everybody, you know, I was really brokenhearted over it, and I started going over – you know, different things, because you see a lot of, you know, and I don't want to get on the skeptic thing again. We talked about that. You could be, everybody's a skeptic. If you're an investigator and you're not skeptic at some point, you shouldn't be investigating anything. You know, there's a lot of people there and they argue about everything. You know, the ghosts don't exist. This doesn't happen. This ain't right. And I started thinking, is there anything anybody agrees on? And I was telling Nathan and our listeners, you can even argue the fact that we don't exist. And scientifically, Physics, you can't prove the existence of the human. The existence is not, we're non-existent. We don't even exist. So how can we find a way to prove something that is unknown, like the paranormal? That's why it's called paranormal. And it is, folks, an unknown subject. How can we find a system to prove it if we can't even prove our own existence? If we'll argue that, you know? Exactly. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Exactly. How do we even know we're having this conversation right now, right?
Absolutely.
Well, that's... Well,
who said all we are is a dream within a dream, Nathan? Who said that?
Oh, give me a second. But but one of the things that I was thinking of is the fact that it's a great out for Mike when people say, why did you do the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show? He can say, never happened.
Yeah.
Can't prove our existence. Never happened. It's
yeah.
That's true. That's true. But I think it's a good point you bring up. You know, but it makes you think. It really does make you think, how could anything exist?
Right.
So when you're talking about proof of ghosts, a lot of times there are people who you'll never just convince. There's no way you're ever going to convince everybody. And, you know, it could happen. It could fly in their face. They could have something so obvious happen to them.
And by, yeah. By the way, Sean, that was all we are, see.
What's
or
flying in your face? What was it?
All we are, see or seem, is a dream within a dream. And that's Edgar Allan Poe.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Edgar.
There you go.
That segue. But, Mike, I mean, what you said, and I gave up a long time ago investigating the paranormal, not investigating the paranormal, but trying to prove to people the paranormal exists. I don't care to prove to other people the paranormal exists. I know it exists. I know what's happened to me. There is weird stuff happening. I'm not going to say it's a ghost or Satan or anything like that, but I know weird stuff happens, and so do you, Mike, and so does Nathan. If anybody spends enough time at these haunted locations, it'll happen to you guys too. It might take a while, and you'll go through a lot of BS, like I'm still going through. People having you out and then throwing things through the air, going, "Oh, what was that?" You know. So, you know, but I think it's been productive what I've done. And you know, I started thinking last night, man, am I wasting my time? And I'd have to say tonight, no, I'm not, because I'm looking in the chat room and I see all these great people in there, and I know all the people around the world are listening. And look at the great family we've created and made. Just like with the Indiana Ghost Trackers, we got people like you, Mike, on the show tonight, and you have this huge group that you've created, and all that's not for anything. You know, you've done a great job, and that's what we got to keep doing. And it's, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I've got off
basically, Mike, Sean is going through a midlife crisis, and he needs your support, or he's going to have to go out and buy a Corvette.
I'm not midlife yet. I just turned 35. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Sean. How many guys do you meet over 70?
That's true. What is the lifespan for an adult man?
I think it's 73 right now.
73. Well, I got a couple good years left in me. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But, hey, Mike, what is the scariest, one of the scariest things, if anything, you've ran into on your tours yet, huh?
On my tours or ghost hunting? Or
no, let's start with the tours. Have you ran into any...
Yeah, I have. And, you know, it's just weird little things that will happen sometimes during the tours. I mean... For instance, we've been out to the lakeshore, and people have sworn that they've seen Diana the Dunes off to the side. You know, a couple of times people have claimed that they've seen somebody standing next to the group and then only to have her disappear. One of the spookiest things, though, was our Porter County route we were doing 2 years ago. It was a rainy night, late October. It's even the middle of the week. It was like a weeknight tour. So it wasn't a very big tour, probably, you know, just maybe 20 people on it or something. And handed out the EMF meters, and not even everybody went out into the Stark Cemetery that's way out in the middle of the country. And this one guy had gone all the way into the back. He was back there with a meter, and he was the last one in the cemetery. I'm waiting as people are coming onto the bus. And this guy comes running out of the cemetery. He's like, you know, oh my gosh, it's the last time I ever go into a cemetery. This was crazy. I said, wait a minute, what just happened? Apparently, when he was standing at the back gate of the cemetery, his EMF meter lit up, you know, gave him a spike, and he looked up straight in front of him. There, standing in front of him, was this dark figure, you know, wearing a hat of some sort, standing straight in front of him, just a few feet away. And he looked at this guy for just a minute, and the guy was there, and then the figure just kind of wavered out and disappeared, and was gone. And then the meter went back to zero, and that's when the guy ran for the bus. And by the end of the tour, I think he was still kind of he was kind of stoked about it, but he was still pretty adamant that he was never going to go into a cemetery ever again. You know, he had a good experience. You know, that sort of thing will happen once in a while on a ghost tour, where somebody will see something like that. So,
well,
yeah,
you know, it's funny because like when we were filming and stuff, one of the things we had happen by the lake is we kept having EMF spikes, and you know, to try and negate the fact that we had cameras and stuff like that around us, we would tell the cameramen they had to stand a certain distance away from us,
right?
And then, you know, film us from a good distance so that their cameras wouldn't get in the way of our equipment. And so when we started getting spikes in the middle of the lake, we're like, oh, geez, this ain't good. Because I'm afraid of the water. You know, I really don't want to get dragged down here. This would be bad. So,
you know, that was using the K2 meters, man, and they're so sensitive. But, you know, then again, we were out on, you know, a lake where there was no, except for the, you know, cameras they had on remote and stuff, and they were standing back a ways. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's paranormal. You're not going to say it's paranormal what happened, but we did have some strange things happen out there.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, the lake, there was nobody out there but us, and we were hearing, well, we got EVP, for the first time I've ever got it, while I was 50 feet below, or I think I was at 35 feet when you guys got it, and it came through on my mic in my face mask.
Yeah.
And you guys heard it, and I didn't hear it. I pushed the button to talk to you guys, and while I'm talking to you, you hear the voice over me. I forget what it said, but it was sounded like a woman's voice or something.
So, I mean, when you get somebody that's taken out of their usual element, in my case, you know, water is not my usual element. It's, you know, and then you start getting something spooky happening, it starts to throw somebody for a loop. So, I mean, I can kind of understand your guy there, and you know, for guys like us who spend nights in a cemetery, that's nothing. We just,
right.
that is our usual, I got a plane flying over or something. That is our
UFO.
Usual territory.
UFO.
Yes, UFO. That's our usual territory. But you put me on water, now I'm out of my usual element. So when you get, how often do you get like people freaking out on you on the tours?
Not too often. Most people, they're there to enjoy a story. You know, they love hearing the story. You know, I even get them, they'll come right up to me and say, you know, I don't believe in ghosts. I said, that's okay, you know, because you don't have to believe in ghosts to enjoy the stories. Whether you believe or not, there's history behind these stories. And the history is very interesting. And even if you don't believe the stories, there's some pretty interesting things that have happened at these sites. So, but yeah, we don't get too many people freaking out. I mean, people ask me, you know, is this set up like a, you know, like a haunted house or something? Am I going to see people jumping out at me? No, we don't do that. You know, it's not that sort of a tour, you know. But, you know, I imagine there's all different kinds of tours. But this is one that's very seriously done. But it's also, you know, we try and make it something that people will walk away from and give them something to think about.
And you know, that's the difference between a ghost tour and a haunted house, because there's a difference between being scared and being startled. You
right,
know,
right.
Ghost hunters get used to stuff happening, so they don't get, you know, in general, not all ghost hunters, but yeah, because we work with Jason Gowan and he gets afraid of everything. You know, it's you're out on an investigation. You tend not to get scared of what you're working on. Hopefully you don't. But on the same, on the other side, I get startled all the time. It's easy to startle me, you know. I'm sitting around in the dark, for Pete's sake. It's
right. I always like it when it's real quiet and somebody farts while you're doing the.
Again, Jason Gowan. He's a nervous farter. We had that happen all the time.
It's usually Sean that's doing that sort of thing. I mean, either that or, you know, we could be on a ghost hunt and he'll grab my ass right when we're getting somewhere where it's spooky, you know. It'll be Sean grabbing my ass. Nice, Sean.
Everybody thought I was afraid to fall asleep at Whispers. The fact of the matter is I was just afraid to fall asleep in the same room as Sean Burris. You know, it's...
Right. I could totally relate. I could totally relate to that.
I'm a nervous cuddler. What can I say? I like to cuddle. But, you know, Mike, with the Indiana Ghost Trackers, what's going on, what's coming up for you guys? I mean, what's new? What's happening, man?
We've got our regular meetings. We do monthly meetings with all the different chapters. You know, we've got I think maybe a dozen chapters right now that are running throughout the state of Indiana. We're getting ready to start up the South Suburbs chapter. Mm. We've got a couple people that are going to help me get that going. The Ghost Trackers are constantly doing different events around the state. You know, we're working on different locations as far as possibly doing some, you know, overnights to help raise money for the organization. You know, just different things along those lines. I think we're working on putting together a convention. We're working on doing something like that for next year. Shannon Simpson, who's our state PR person, has been talking to me about that. So then in the spring, we have our yearly director's retreat that goes on, where we get all of our directors and management for the organization together, and we have a meeting, a powwow. We sit down and we talk about what's going on with the group, and we make corrections as we need to, and we also, you know, get them up to speed with some helpful tips and training on member volunteer management, stuff having to do with the treasury. You know, some of it's boring stuff, some of it's interesting stuff. Changes to the website. We'll have our state webmaster there and work with us on some things. But, and then after that, we go ghost hunting. You know, it's a good time. But and Sean likes the partying, and so Friday night is usually our party night.
Yeah,
we just call it the Sean Burris night when we. but everybody
it,
just kind of, you know, usually it's the first night there. Everybody lets their hair down and does a little bit of drinking and hanging out and watching movies or whatever, and you know, and then the second night is more, let's do some ghost hunting, let's see what we can get, you know, and then if we still have energy left, usually people are dragging, you know, the second day after they've, you know, if they, but especially if they were drinking the first night, then, you know, maybe later on we'll have something to drink after we get done with the ghost hunting. But
see, the thing about the Indiana Ghost Trackers, it's kind of like a dating club too, because you get a lot of people involved in the same thing, and you meet a lot of single ladies or single men that are into the same thing. I've seen a lot of relationships. It's kind of like an eHarmony commercial. How many successful marriages have you had come out of IGT, Mike? That's interesting.
Well, right? That's true. We have had a few successful marriages. We've also been the cause of a few divorces.
yes.
Hey, do you see that a lot?
Yeah.
Do you see that a lot in the paranormal? Like, people get so involved in what they do with such a large group as yours. You know, they get involved with it, and people are like, hey, you know, you're spending too much time doing this. Either it's me or the ghosts.
Yeah, sometimes that's it. You know, and unfortunately, you know, we've had that happen where people have been given the choice like that, and they had to make a decision. But a lot of times, you know, the relationship wins out. You know, people aren't willing to. People are more willing to give up their passion, their hobby, to try and keep the relationship going. But
quitters.
As I told some of my close friends that have gone through that, usually if you've reached that point where the woman is giving you a choice between her and what your passion is, the passion's already out of the relationship, and it's gonna die.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes they listen to me, right, Sean, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, sometimes they don't. Yeah. I've been down that road, man. Yeah, absolutely.
But,
hey, you're better for it. You're better for it, man. Because you know, if somebody doesn't want to stick with you through the your passion, then you don't want them there anyhow.
Right.
But this stuff can kind of overtake your life, man.
It can, but you know, if this is your passion, if this is what you're about, then whoever you're with needs to also respect that you know, you need to be able to pursue your passion, too.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean that they have to be interested in the same thing, but they should at least be understanding and accepting and willing to work with you as far as, you know, how much time you allot towards that, you know. But if there's just no, you know, if there's just no understanding, then, yeah, it's kind of hard to have a relationship like that, because it doesn't necessarily have to be the paranormal. It could be you're an avid bowler. And you go bowling, you know, once or twice a week, and then that becomes the issue, you know. So I think people should pursue their passion.
Well,
and,
you know,
it's
been very lucky for me, because I love ritual, obviously, anyone who's watched the TV show.
Is that a drink or?
I love ritual and having joined the Masons, a lot of ritual goes on, so I get to go out and do that, you know, a few times a month, sometimes twice a week, to be involved with the ritual at the Masonic lodges, and it's great for me because I love it. And at the same time, my my significant other, Chrissy P, does not argue that because she knows there's no women there. So she knows I'm actually out doing just that. So it's a little easier on me. People ask me all the time, you know, who's in your group? What do you do with this? What do you do with that? I'm like, you know what? Just keep your significant other happy while you're doing it and everything will be fine.
You know, I'm sorry, but they keep mentioning the chat room Chavarama, man. And they keep, yes, we were the show, the only paranormal show that I know of that made the Chavarama for. It's an all men's exclusive, just for men website. If you don't know, for the heavier set man, we made it, man. I'm proud of that. We should link them to our site. Demon Hunter.
We should. Jason Gowen got like an award for like cutest ghost hunter, and Sean Burris got an honorable mention. So
yeah,
I did not get mentioned. I don't know why, but
yeah, I don't understand that.
Wow.
Hey, they love us all over.
The things we're proud of.
I know. You gotta grip it, man. Grip it and rip it. You know what I mean?
Maybe not the best thing to say after mentioning Chavarama.com, Sean.
That's true. Maybe not. Back to broadcasting school for me. But, Mike, the Indiana Ghost Trackers, you guys have been around since 2000 now. How many members, did you mention this before, how many members are in the group now, roughly?
We're roughly about 400 members, right?
400. That's a large team, man, to take care of. You got a lot of people you got to lean on to kind of keep things going, right?
Right. It's not just an internet-based group. These are 400 active members who are out there in the field, ghost hunting, investigating different haunted sites throughout the state and around the country. So, yeah, it's a challenge administrative-wise just to help everybody out, to keep everything flowing. And
now, when you have a group,
we do the best we can.
When you have a group of 400 people, what do you do to decide who's going to go on the next ghost hunt with you?
Well, again, we're at 12 chapters, so each chapter may have, you know, 40 or 50 members on average, and of those people, you might have 20 or 30 that show up to a meeting, and so we normally will break up those groups into teams that will go out and ghost hunt separately. So we won't have everybody there. I mean, if you had 30 people show up at a meeting, normally you've got a two or three ghost hunt sites set up, and maybe you can rotate through those sites during the evening. As far as investigations, to try and keep it fair, it's only those people who have been trained. So we have a full training program. Whenever somebody joins IGT, it's not very rudimentary. It's very extensive when you take your training program. And then we divvy out those investigations to the people who are involved and helping out and volunteering, and we make sure we take turns with them so everybody can get involved and do the investigations.
And that's found at indianaghosts.org, correct? Indiana Ghosts.
Right, indianaghosts.org. .org. Yes.
That's like when I have to pronounce the and in ghostanddemon.com, so everybody knows it's
right,
two D's.
Right.
So we have an S on ghosts. So
it's
IndianaGhosts.com.
So, Mike, what do you, real quick, what do you think about all the paranormal, I mean, we're not going to bash any of the shows, of course, but what do you think about the paranormal in the media today? I mean, what do you think about all the shows out there right now? Too much or not enough? You decide. Tell us.
I don't know about if it's too much or not enough. I just think that, I don't know. When we first started 10 years ago, everybody used to say to us, when we told them we were ghost hunters, you do what? What exactly is it that you do? What are you telling me that you do? They didn't understand what we meant when we said that we were ghost hunters.
Uh-huh.
But anymore, it's become, you know, it's a dinner table discussion. It's just everybody knows what a ghost hunter is and what they do anymore. It's just, you know, everybody has kind of jumped on the bandwagon with this over the last, you know, especially over the last 5 years.
You know,
and
it's funny. It's funny, too, Mike, because like you say, 10 years ago people said, you do what? 20 years, I can tell you, you just didn't tell people. And
right.
Now,
oh, exactly.
You mention it and people are like, I have a ghost story. Let me tell you about the ghost in my house. And
oh, yeah.
That acceptance has kind of come into the public. The public is now more accepting of what we do than we are of each other.
Right, right. I think that movies like Ghostbusters was kind of a throwback for people accepting what we do because it kind of made fun of, you know, ghost hunters. I mean, it's a funny movie. I love Ghostbusters. It was obviously one of my favorite movies when it came out.
And I'm looking forward to number three.
It's hard for people to accept you as a ghost hunter when the only way they can come to terms with what a ghost hunter is watching a movie like Ghostbusters. If that's all they know, then instantly they think of Ghostbusters, you know, which is a comedy. So it was hard for them to relate. I mean, now that there's been professional ghost hunting shows on television where some of these groups have come out and done an admirable job of representing the paranormal community, showing what we do, it's really opened a lot of people up to what it is really about.
And, Sean, notice he said some of these people are doing an admirable job. He did not, I don't think he was talking about us at all. And don't tell him I said that.
But, you know, I told Mike if you got out of line tonight, I'd just tell everybody he taught me all the techniques I used to speak to him. So.
But it's been interesting though with all the paranormal shows and seeing how things have changed and it's a lot different. You know, like I said, there's a lot more acceptance. There's a lot of people that are interested now. And you can see that with the ghost tours. You can see that with the midnight tours that I do and the people that, you know, join the ghost trackers.
Well, you know, it's funny.
There's a lot of people that are looking.
It's funny, too, Mike, because I showed up at my church for like the 200th anniversary of the church I grew up in. And, you know, I remember going to the 175th anniversary and thinking, you know, this is cool, whatever, but now it's 200th, so tells you, you know, how long I've been going to church and everything. And
200 years.
And
it's amazing.
I walked in for the first time since I did Extreme Paranormal expecting to get attacked for what I had done. And the paranormal community, I don't even want to use that word, the paranormal
peeps,
the people, the average acceptance of people in the public has gotten to the point where I walked in and 20 minutes after, you know, listening to the minister speak, people were coming up to me and saying, by the way, I have a ghost story about my house and blah, blah, blah. And no one was being upset with the fact that I was a ghost hunter. They all had their own stories they wanted to tell me.
Oh, absolutely. I just ran a tour for the very first time after doing tours since, 2001. I had a church group book a bus tour this last week.
How cool was that?
Pretty cool. Yeah, a church group. So I'm like, wow, yeah, this is pretty neat. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
And if you're having problems believing in the supernatural or something possibly being on the other side, a ghost, a god, or whatever you believe in, once you see something slide across the table or something like that, I think it would help you. It kind of broaden your way of thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It really makes you think. And if anything, it shows you that there is something after this life, that there's something that goes on, that there's some sort of spiritual afterlife. So if anybody's ever in doubt, I mean, here is the proof that there is energy after we pass on. And even if they don't believe in heaven, even if they don't believe in their beings, you know, in whatever, there's proof that something is going on.
And for all you folks who are interested in following up, if you're interested in getting in touch with Mike about Indiana Ghost Trackers, that, of course, is indianaghosts.org. So indianaghosts.org. And, of course, if you want to book a trip on the Chaos Trips, that's Chaos, chaostrips.com.
.com.
So, you know, guys, be sure and check all that out because you know, one, if you're in that area, and like you said, there's 12 groups, so I imagine you cover all of Indiana.
Well, most of it, at least the northern two-thirds or so of Indiana, we're pretty active. We don't currently have a lot in southern. I think the furthest south we have is Seymour, which is pretty far south. You know, that's a little south of Bloomington there.
You're speaking Greek to me, man. You're speaking Greek to me. I'm in the Northeast.
So. You've been out here before.
but I have GPS to get me there.
Well, I'll put it this way in terms of Indianapolis, go about an hour and a half south.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And 2 hours south puts you into Kentucky. So, you know, we cover a lot of the state, yeah.
So, you know, Indiana Ghost Trackers and chaostrips.org or .com, excuse me. And what are some of the trips you or the trips? So what are some of the tours you have coming up?
We've got a Lake County tour where we go visit the jail where John Dillinger escaped from and they film Public Enemies. That's part of something, you know, that we're going to be doing here. The Porter County tour is out of Valparaiso, and we've visited another very, very active, and haunted prison on that tour, as well as some great places. There was a cemetery I was telling you about where the guy saw the apparition. There's a great story behind that one about a murder that, you know, some murders that were happening in the early 1800s, just half a mile from there, and we believe bodies were, you know, hidden in the cemetery to try and cover up some of the murders from some of these highwaymen. And we have LaPorte County. We have, as I was telling you, we have the Haunted Pub Crawl. Northern Porter County, it's a Dark Shores tour. One of the highlights of that is going to visit where Diana the Dunes is said to roam. In fact, her real name was Alice Mabel Gray, and there's a book that was just released this year detailing her life story. Midnight tours at the Crown Point Jail. This is the first time they've opened up the Crown Point Jail to ghost hunting. That's going on. Valparaiso Jail, the very haunted nightclub in Hobart called Drina's, and a very really really cool place in LaPorte that's got a it's an old church that was an old church from the 1850s that was sold off in the 1950s to a theater group, which still operates a location today. And so we've got the ghosts of priests and actors. And that's a good midnight tour to go look for the ghosts of these priests and actors. And they do give us a good thrill once in a while over there. So on top of that, I'm working on some other good tours. We're doing the Ghosts of Christmas Past, which been kind of working on tours like that for a bit. And we're doing a St. Valentine's Day tour in February. We're going to take people over to St. Valentine's Day sites and visit some of the areas in Chicago that are haunted. We're going to be going to do some gangster tours. It's one of the new things I'm going to be working on for this year. We have gangster tours in the South Chicago region that are going to start happening here too. So getting not just the ghost hunting tours, but also getting into more of the historical-based things that happened with mobsters and gangsters and from the 20s and 30s, which there's a lot of people that have a huge interest in that sort of thing.
It is.
Hey, Mike, real quick, Booger in the chat room wants to know, have you investigated Perryville Battlefield in Kentucky?
Oh, yes. Very active. Went out there in November of 2006 with two very good friends, Shannon and Dave. Went out there at night. We were on the hilltop, and there was this girl at our hotel that she wanted to be a ghost hunter when she heard what we were doing, and she went with us out to the battleground. And great story, true story. We were on the side of this hill looking down, and there was this house at the bottom of the hill. I don't remember the whole story, but they said that around the bottom of this hill, around this house down there, bodies were piled like three high, four high, and there was so much death that happened around this house. And here we are in the battlefield. We're overlooking the house, and I had my back turned for just a second. I was looking over to the side, and this girl says over my shoulder, I said, what? She said, I just saw a shadow run down the hill right there. And she said, what does that mean? It's like, probably saw something, and that's what happens out here at night on the battlegrounds. You know,
What is that, Mike? Is that a Civil War or a Revolutionary? What's the story behind that?
That's the Civil War battlefield. It's one of the very few in like the Kentucky area. Most of them are down towards Tennessee, and I've been to a bunch of those too. There was something there on that side of that hill. We did have some weird experiences there that night. Got a couple of EVP. It was neat. I can say that, and it was quite an experience. But that hotel clerk, when she heard that was probably a ghost, her face turned white. She said, "I need to go back to the van." I said, "The van is about 100 yards behind us. If you want to go back to it, please feel free." She said, "I need you to walk me there." I said,
"I said okay." Absolutely, baby.
I walked her to the van, and she would not get out the rest of the night. And she stayed in the van the whole time, and was.
You know, that's something I've noticed when Sean and I go investigating. Whenever one of the young ladies want to go back to the van, Sean's always the one to walk her back.
Why is that?
I don't know. Safety first, everybody. Maybe
this is why he doesn't like to wear pants. He's always prepared.
I'll have to check that place out, guys. First time I heard about it. Yeah, I love Civil War stuff. I've never heard about that. Now, I know about the battlefield that was more like a skirmish field here in Indiana that we did, Mike. Way back
in the day.
Yeah,
but that's so small.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not much to that one. Speaking of women and ghosts, remember that time we went out to the cemetery in Terre Haute there and we had the bra snapping ghost?
Yes, we did have a little booger running around. I liked him too.
Yeah, we actually had a lady that you want to tell the story, Sean, or should I?
No, go ahead.
Okay. There was this group that Sean was taking through the cemetery and I was with them, and there was this guy and this girl walking off to the side. We hear this real loud snap. And she turns to the guy next to her, and she starts yelling at him. She goes, "What'd you snap my bra for?" He looks at her and says, "I didn't snap your bra." And they just argue for a minute. He walks away, and she's standing by herself. And we're all off to the side there, and we hear this real loud snap of her bra again. And she's, she's running out of the cemetery. So, yeah, we had a bra-snapping ghost. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we did. She freaked out, too, man. What a great thing.
Now, see, I can understand, though, why somebody would think Sean was snapping their bra.
Right. Because I would if I was close enough. But I wasn't close that time. I think I was back by Mike. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you were behaving yourself that night for a change. Yeah. So
very rare. I must have been sick.
We were actually consumed with trying to look into this old crypt that had broken open. A tree had fallen on it or something, and you can see into this like mid-1800s crypt. See all the old metal coffins and stuff in there, all lined up, and it was like this underground crypt. And we're all like trying to sneak a peek in there, going, "Oh my God, that's so cool!" And that's what we were all thinking about when all that was happening.
I personally would have thought Sean had snapped my bra, so right. It's.
I'd get blamed either way.
It's just, you know, what you do, Sean, and we love you for it. But it's good to know it was the ghost and not you.
Now, we should have more of that on the paranormal TV reality shows with more bra-snapping ghosts.
You know, I think if we could get a few ghosts to appear on paranormal reality shows on cue, you know, things would be better. It's
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, if we could just get them to do that.
You know, yeah. And
fake. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Satan pops up and waves at the camera. Somebody's gonna say fake. So I give up, man. I'm done trying to please people. I'm out pleasing myself right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm out to get mine and watch
Sean,
what's out there.
What is that song? You're busy pleasing yourself.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I pleasure myself.
We figured you were pleasuring yourself whenever we didn't see you on camera, Sean.
Spain. That's the funny word of the night. Spain. I don't know. It sounds funny.
But, hey, Sean, we've got to – I hate to say it's time for you and I to wrap up and say thanks to everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
See? It's ventriloquism. I say it here. It appears in Indianapolis.
I said it. That's right, little brother. And special thanks to Mike McDowell, Paranormal Superhero of the Year. Best wishes, Mike. I hope everything works out for okay. the
– And, Mike, before we take off – how you dealing with the silly season? How's Halloween treating you?
It's been busy. I've been running my butt off and trying to keep up with everything between the ghost trackers and running tours. It's been a struggle, but doing the best I can, and you know, we're getting to into the end of it, thank goodness.
I couldn't believe this year, mine's rolling over into November, halfway through November this year.
Yeah, it's we have to keep them going, but you know, it's interesting, you know, it keeps you busy, that's for sure.
Well, everybody, once again, Mike McDowell from the Indiana Ghost Trackers. You can find them at indianaghosts.org. And, of course, be sure to check out his tours at chaostrips.com. So that's chaostrips.com or indianaghosts.org. And, Mike, hang on while we finish wrapping up for tonight. We want to say goodbye to you when we're done. But,
okay.
Join no show next week, folks. It's Halloween. I will try and put something together because Sean has asked, and we want to make sure that you guys have something to do. But please, trick or treat on Halloween. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Go out, have some fun, and because you know we will, and we will be back again in 2 weeks. And I'm hoping to have my buddy Frank from Invisible World on with us.
Oh, very
and,
cool.
If not, we will, you know, we'll be back in 2 weeks. That'll be what, Sean? November? Jeez,
I don't know. It'll be November.
It'll be November by then, folks. when in November?
November
we don't know.
7th.
November
7th.
Thank you.
Mike.
Thank you. That's why Mike.
Mike McDowell, our tech guy, everybody.
That's why Mike is in charge. But, Sean, I'm going to wrap up tonight, finish smoking my Tarano cigar I picked up at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium. And
Buttheads!
And call it a night here, and thank everybody again, because have a happy That's Halloween, it. Folks.
Happy Halloween, guys. We're throwing in the towel for tonight. Hey, you can't stay here. We got to go. But before we go, I just want to tell you guys, if you're not excited, get excited. The Paranormal gets a facelift coming soon to the Bad Boys of the Paranormal, only on your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums, because we want to hear from you.
That's right. Good night, everybody.
Don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Just to cover the whole night.
That's it.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you want to get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.